right. Here we go on a Mother's Day 2024 in Las Vegas. So first and foremost, I want to wish my mother a happy heavenly Mother's Day. To say I was blessed with a great mother would be a dramatic understatement. Think about her every single day. I also want to wish all the mothers and mothers-to-be a happy Mother's Day as well. And that being said, I am Brian Feldman. This is Out of Line, and we are here live in the Fox Sports RCG Home Loans powered by Luminate Bank Studio every Sunday morning at 8 on Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM Las Vegas, flagship of the Vegas Golden Knights and sister station of Raiders Nation Radio and ESPN Radio Las Vegas. The We also includes social media director Spencer the Wiz Ostrowski.
Nobody beats the Wiz.
And producer Chris Magnum Chapman, who aside from being a part of several shows here at Lotus Broadcasting, Mags also serves as a locker room reporter for the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network. We are also streaming on the LV Sports Network, and you can watch the show on Facebook Live and Twitch. The page is called Out of Line. That's OUTTALINE. Follow the show on Instagram and X at Out of Line Fox LV. And since we are live, your calls and questions are welcome. The Fox Sports RCG Home Loans powered by Luminate Bank Studio line is 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
What's on Tap? Brought to you by title sponsor RCG Home Loans, powered by Luminate Bank. Whether purchasing a new home or refinancing the home you already own, RCG Home Loans, powered by Luminate Bank, is the company to turn to for all of your home financing needs. To get information or to get your questions answered regarding anything mortgage or real estate related, contact the pros at RCG Home Loans, powered by Luminate Bank, today at 702-964-5720. On Tap, Golden Knights, as we know, we've waited a week to talk about it. Ended the 2023-24 campaign last week. Sunday, they lost Game 7 to the Dallas Stars 2-1. I did say that if the Knights were going to be successful, two guys that I expected to score would be William Karlsson, who didn't score and was left pointless in the playoffs, which is pretty surprising. But I also said Brett Howden, and he did get the only goal in the game, but the Golden Knights now turn to next year. And first and foremost, they've got 6 unrestricted free agents, and we'll talk about that shortly coming up with Mags. He's got some interviews as well, as you hear from Jonathan March. So probably the unrestricted free agent everyone in Vegas is most interested in, one of the last original Vegas Golden Knights and misfits left on the team. Also, we'll talk about the NHL playoffs. And joined in a short while, we'll be joined by Jiggy Maxwell. Jiggy, of course, is the longtime Las Vegas Aces vice president media relations and a great guy, and he's going to join us. They are freshly back from South Carolina, a big win over the Puerto Rican national team, and they're getting ready to start their season this coming Tuesday. We'll talk all about the Aces during Aces Up, our first Aces Up segment of the season, and of course, it's going to be fact this as well. We'll talk a little bit about the NBA playoffs. Luka Doncic, man, talk about a tough guy. I don't know if you saw the fall at the end of last night's game, but it was pretty vicious on his back. Already knee, ankle problems, and now a back problem, but the Mavericks win in spite of all that. We'll talk about all the playoff series left as we go on, and hopefully get a little bit of time and also update you on the Las Vegas Aviators as well. That is What's on Tap. Once again, if you are looking to buy a home or to refinance the home you currently own, or if you have any mortgage or real estate related questions, contact the pros at RCG Home Loans, powered by Luminate Bank, today at 702-964-5720. Spence, Mags, I'm going to give you both a quick opportunity. Say happy Mother's Day to your mothers. I know both of your mothers, and both great ladies, and I think they deserve to get a shout-out this morning. Go ahead, Spence.
Yeah, I do want to say thank you to my mom. It's kind of the price that you can never repay, right? That's what it feels like when you do Mother's Day, just everything that they've done for you in your life. It's just like a lifetime of payments, and I just appreciate every moment of it.
Very cool.
Yeah, happy Mother's Day to my mom as well. I'm sure she's still sleeping, but she does a lot for me. Even at 45 years old, she's still there whenever I need her. So it's always good stuff to have someone like that in your life. And you know, I haven't always been the best son, especially growing up. I was a bit of a pain in the ass, but, my mom's a good one. I got lucky.
And you got her out here too, Chris.
Yeah, convinced her to leave New Jersey and move out to Vegas about 7-8 years ago, and everything is pretty good now. So we'll be going to dinner tonight. I won't say in case by some weird coincidence she is listening. It's always a surprise.
Yeah, let her be surprised, man.
But yeah, she works as a taxi for my son, much like she used to work as a taxi for me when I was that age. So it's good to have that person here. So
both pretty cool ladies. I know them both, and yeah, Linda's great. We got Linda Chapman helped her get her a condominium not long ago, and it was a pleasure to do so. And you know, pretty cool story, real quick, before I jump into the nightcap that I saw on ESPN just this morning, talking about Mother's Day. Theo Johnson is the 4th round pick of the New York Giants. Came out tight end out of Penn State. What a great story! Kid was brought up in Windsor, Canada, about 6 miles from the border of Detroit, where he had jump into Detroit, Michigan. And a great story. His mother was severely abused by her husband in Canada. She had 6 boys, and at one point just kind of left like a thief in the night when her ex-husband was out of town, took the boys, went to shelters, got help, ended up getting herself through school, went to law school, became an attorney, took care of all of them. And the heartfelt stuff you heard this morning, if you get a chance to watch ESPN and they show that special about Theo Johnson and his family, really, really cool. A great way for me to start off Mother's Day. Again, missing my mom every day, and tonight I'll be spending Mother's Day with my daughter and my grandson, and I guess my ex-wife and her husband are in town and well, so should be an interesting and a fun Mother's Day for me tonight as well. But I'm looking forward to it. Always look forward to spending family time with them, and you know, it's a great day. But go ahead, Spencer, get us into nightcap.
Hockey players, as you know, are warriors. They don't give up. They come to play every game.
It's time for Nightcap, a cup full of the Vegas Golden Knights. From highlights to interviews to special events, the puck starts here.
Now, the puck stopped last Sunday, early evening, late afternoon, when the Vegas Golden Knights got bumped from the first round of the playoffs in 7 games by the team that won the Western Conference record-wise this season, the Dallas Stars. So Knights finishes the A seed and took them to 7 games, won the first two. A lot of people, including myself, got excited and thought, okay, you know, chances of them winning two out of the next potentially 5 games is pretty good. Since they've got to win 2 out of 5, but they couldn't do it, and that was pretty much the end of it for the Vegas Golden Knights. And now attention turns forward to next season and what's going to happen with the Knights. As you know, basically 5 misfits left on this team from the original Golden Knights. I consider, even though Shea Theodore got cut from the original roster, he was up from Chicago within 2 weeks, and he never went back down, so he's considered an original Vegas Golden Knights anyways. I think this year that number gets down, whittled down to at least 4, if not down to 3 remaining original Golden Knights left, as 2 of the unrestricted free agents, Jonathan Marchessault and William Carrier. Chris, I think both of them, I don't want to say hot seat because that would be the wrong word, it's just that both of them are kind of on the chopping block when it comes to unrestricted free agencies, 2 players that will probably end up somewhere else. I know Jonathan Marchessault has stated, and you're going to talk about this in a minute and let us hear what he had to say, has stated he wants to be a Vegas Golden Knights. Kelly McCrimmon, I think also somewhat politically, being politically correct, talked about how badly they would love to make the marriage between Jonathan Marchessault and the Vegas Golden Knights continue, maybe even to the end of Jonathan Marchessault's career. However, again, I think that's a politically correct statement. When you do the numbers, the salary cap should jump up to about $87.7 million this year. However, the problem with that is the Knights are already at a little over $80 million this year before they sign anyone. They've got 6 unrestricted free agents and maybe a few gaps to fill as well. So, Chris, your thoughts. I think out of the unrestricted free agents of the Vegas Golden Knights, and real quickly, just to quickly rename who they are, and you know, if you're wondering who's going to go, who potentially will go, who won't go, as I mentioned, Jonathan Marchessault, you have William Carrier, Chandler Stephenson, who I think will go down as the greatest pick for player trade in Knights history. A 5th round pick is all it cost to land Stephenson from the Washington Capitals in December of 2019. It's been a home run trade ever since, but he didn't even speak at the exit interviews, which tells me he's probably gone. Alec Martinez, I look for him to retire, 36 years old now, took a long long pause before exiting the rink after Game 7 against the Stars, if you saw, and it was kind of as if Martinez accepted it was his last NHL game. I think he'll be gone. Michael Amadio, the one guy I think they might be able to re-sign. Chris will talk about that a little bit as well. I think that, you know, last year he made $762,500. He's expecting a raise and deserves one. He's been a big part of their team, 27 years old, still a good amount of gas left in that tank. He may go somewhere else. And the other guy, Anthony Mantha, he had 10 points in 18 games after being acquired in a trade with the Washington Capitals at the trading deadline. It was a good start to Mantha's tenure with the Knights. After just one goal in his first seven games, he ended the season with 9 points in 11 games. But Mantha found himself on the bench after Game 3 against Dallas and never saw the ice again. He was brought in as a big body who could crash the net, but there wasn't enough of that against Dallas, and look for the 29-year-old forward to find a new home this summer. And that's my opinion on all those, Chris. I want to hear your thoughts.
Well, I'll start by saying the only unrestricted free agent we were allowed to speak with after the season was Jonathan Marchessault, which you know, you can make your own conclusion on that. And my conclusion is that those guys you just mentioned, I don't think a majority of them will be back. I think I think Martinez, you know, that long pause he took exiting the ice, and they certainly highlighted it on television. Yep. I think that was a bit telling. And look, the guy's won 3 Stanley Cups. He's built a really solid legacy as being a man who was a clutch performer for not only the Golden Knights, but for the LA Kings in the playoffs. He's 36 years old. He suffered that horrific injury a couple years ago. Wow. He missed a bunch of time this year due to injury.
That gash on his face, Mags, I thought was going to end his career.
I mean, I think he did too.
Yeah.
And so, look, we've seen the pictures of him on the lake, Stanley Cup. Guy's got a great setup there up in Michigan.
3 rings.
You know, so I think I'd like to see him come back, because I think he's one of those guys that in the locker room is someone that everyone really likes having on the team. And look, I think he's a good player. I just question at 36, 37 years old if he, you know, look, I mean, I'm not making any comparisons because everyone's different, but I mean, there's probably someone younger and cheaper that could do his job. And, you know, it's unfortunate that that's what happens, but, you know, I think, look, the guy if he has to ride off into the sunset, he's leaving behind a really good legacy. And, you know, I think one day his grandchildren and his children will certainly be proud of the career that Alec Martinez forged in the NHL, I should say. Michael Amadio is interesting.
Real quick, before you get away from Martinez, I just wanted to say, you know, if this guy ever puts on hockey clinics and you're a defenseman or you want your kid to be a defenseman, I would go to this guy's hockey clinics. He might be the best shot blocker in the history of the National Hockey League.
You play that little stinger at the beginning of the segment with Bill Foley talking about Warriors. I don't think he knew it at the time, but he was talking about Alec Martinez.
No doubt about it. You want to talk about a guy when they say hockey players have big cojones. I mean, this guy blocking shots. And Mags, after that injury that you just mentioned.
He didn't change the way he played.
No, if you saw what happened to his face, I would have never gotten near getting in front of a puck again in my life.
Didn't change anything. So, look, I wish him all the luck, because or you know, all the well wishes. He seems like, you know, I haven't really had a ton of conversations with him, but he was a guy I thought was a good dude. So you know, to see him retire, I think he's earned it. And you know, certainly you know, whatever he chooses
the
next,
epitome of a hockey player.
Amadio is interesting because I feel like he's a guy who someone could come along and offer him a lot more money. And I think if I'm him, look, I got my Stanley Cup. I created a career for myself in Vegas. I think for him, though, because of the thing with Michael Amadio is he's not going to make like $4 or $5 million. No. Like, that's not happening. No. He's probably somewhere in the realm of $1 to $2 million, probably on the lower end of that.
Yep.
But if, I don't know, hypothetically Buffalo comes along and offers him, you know, $1.5 million, but the Golden Knights are offering you $1.25 million. I think he stays here because I think the tax situation in Nevada is certainly much better than that in New York State.
Very, very.
And look, the other idea is the guy's got a family.
Yeah.
Do you want to move them across country? You found a home here in Vegas. You've settled. You know, Chris Wynn's funny. No, but in the hockey world, they're senior citizens, Chris. Come on, you know that. You know, for Amadio, I think it will boil down to term. But I think certainly I like Michael Amadio as a player.
I do too, Chris. And, you know, you got to think, you know, he's another player who played his best hockey with the Knights.
Well, he's a guy
he
who
went from
his,
being a fringe starter to a key contributor on the Stanley Cup winning team.
He went
team.
From being a guy who was basically a fringe player in the league.
Pretty much, yeah.
So I think for him, he's probably grateful.
Scored the big overtime goal in the game three against Winnipeg last year.
Yeah. I mean, he's proven that he's an NHL player.
Yep.
So I like Michael Amadio. I hope he's back. But I think, you know, that's a position where if you feel that you have a guy younger and cheaper, you know, this is a team that pushes the limit on the salary cap every year. So every $10,000, every $50,000, every $100,000 counts. So for Michael, I don't think he's priority, but I think he could be depending on what the situation is with Marsh or so. Chandler Stephenson, look, two Stanley Cups, the guy's won in his career. He's criminally underpaid for what he's done in the league.
He's going to get paid.
He's got a wife and two children now. He's a guy who I think will get a lot of money from someone else. And when I say a lot of money, I think probably $4 million a year, about that. Big bump for him. So I think you know, he's going to go. And I don't, you know, we didn't get to talk to him, so like we don't know what his priorities are. But if I'm him, my priorities are pay. Yeah. I've won two championships. I don't care if I go to the Coyotes or whatever they're going to be called. I don't care if I go to Ottawa. I don't care if I go to New Jersey. I want a payday. And for me, that's what I'm looking for if I'm him. I don't know, right? Like, hockey players are different. It might not be about the pay for him. Maybe he's happy here. Maybe he's settled. I don't know. Both of his children were born here. So, you know, this will always have a special place for him. Who else? William Carrier. I think William Carrier is gone.
Yeah.
I think
his injury issues. I think
that's a big part of it.
Last year,
like I love William Carrier. Let me first start by saying that, like, one of the best guys you'll ever talk to. Super interesting guy off the ice.
But can't like a guy like Paul Cotter fill
that's,
his role?
That's my thoughts. You know, you've got Brett Howden. You could play on the fourth line. You've got Paul Cotter. You know, it really depends what you want to do with Nick Waugh. Do you want to move Nick Waugh up and get a little more offensive him and rebuild that fourth line? So I think he's a guy who could potentially, well, not potentially, I would say I'm almost certain
gone.
That he's gone.
Guaranteed.
And
the last one, Anthony Mantha, it reminds me a lot of the Bluger situation. They picked up Bluger. He helped him out right at the end of the season, Mantha did. And then in the playoffs, Bluger didn't play his best hockey and got scratched.
Yeah.
And the same thing happened with Mantha.
I just don't, look, this is a guy who's proven he can score 20 goals in the league.
No
doubt.
Multiple times. Big dude.
Big guy. I think the intent was, he was always going to be a rental.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily feel like it worked out for him the way he intended. I don't think it worked out the way the Knights intended. I don't know if they thought they were getting a different player, but I don't think he was what as media and fans.
But as much of a letdown as he was, Noah Hanifin makes up for it big time.
Yeah. And then getting Hurdle. So I don't think the Mantha thing. Look, he's a high paid player. He's going to get a big contract from someone. I don't know where he goes, but you know, I think he's got. Now Marchessault is interesting, and I could give my thoughts after we play the comments from Marchessault. So I don't know if Spence has them queued up or ready to go, but Spence, if you want to go ahead and hit that,
I had to think about your legacy here in Las Vegas, but when fans come 10, 15 years from now, they're going to look in the rafters. They're going to see that Stanley Cup banner. They're going to see you as a Conn Smythe winner. You've kind of overcome the odds. You've helped this city overcome the odds. So when you look back at your legacy, just what do you think, what goes through your mind?
I'm proud. Like, sitting here today and I can tell you what I've done for the Golden Knights, I'm proud. I'm happy what we accomplish. I think we're accomplished a successful organization. We're in the mix 6 out of 7 years. Am I satisfied? I don't think I'll never be, personally. I want to do it again. You know, the run that we had last year, I sometimes listen to like the video highlights of when we won or certain games in the playoffs of last year just to make me in a good mood, and now it's going to be like that for the rest of my life. So I'm always going to work towards winning again, and if it's not as a player, I'm gonna probably stay in the mix at some point in hockey and work towards winning, because I like that's the most satisfying thing, I think, to me.
Jonathan, you talked about the individual success you had this year, obviously very impressive, so it didn't affect you on the ice, but was there times that the thoughts you were about, hey, this could be it, this could be the end run? Was it hard to kind of keep those thoughts out of your mind as you went through the season?
Yeah, it was. I thought about it all year, to be honest. It's always in the back of your mind. But when I start a game, I'm always start a game. If it's playoff or regular season, it's always, what can I do to help my team win a hockey game? And that's the mentality I have every day. And what can I do to become better and all that? And but I did think about it all year. That's the way it is. I did think about it as my last regular season game against Anaheim. I thought about it against Game 6 at home, like leaving the rink, coming to the rink, all that, like all the memories comes back. And yeah, it was tough for sure, to be honest. But I try to manage to not be a distraction for my teammates, and knowing that my teammates knew that I would perform every night and give the best that I have, and that's something that I'm pretty proud of. Is my teammates know what kind of performance I'm gonna do, and I'm always gonna work hard and give a chance to win to my team.
You know, Chris, the one thing you could take from that, listening to that, it doesn't sound like Jonathan Marchessault is very confident that he's going to be a Vegas Golden Knight again. I think that, you know, everyone kind of sees the writing on the wall, and it's all about money. That's all it is. Jonathan Marchessault deserves a big payday. But then again, look at his age, slowly getting into his mid-30s. That is the issue, is how much can you pay a guy that, you know, I hate saying undersized when I talk about Marchessault, because undersized would, you know, overachieved, oversized almost based on what this guy has done to get to where he is. If you would have said to anybody 5 years ago that Jonathan Marchessault one day will be a Conn Smythe winner after the Stanley Cup final, most people would have thought you had your own dispensary and lived there. I mean, the bottom line is this guy has absolutely overachieved his entire career. Nobody's ever satisfied. I like what he said. I do think he's a guy that will be around hockey his whole life, a guy I could see as a coach down the line. He's so determined, and a guy in the locker room, as Kelly McCrimmon said, he means so much to this team, not just on the ice, but off the ice. And that's kind of cliche-ish, but when it comes to Jonathan Marchessault, Chris, it's absolutely the truth.
Yeah, you know, I go back and forth on Marchessault, on whether or not he's going to be back next year. I think there was something that he said, and I don't know if he said it in that clip, but he definitely said it after one of the questions on Tuesday. And he doesn't play the game for fun. He plays the game to win. He wants to win. That's all he cares about, is winning. And I don't, yeah, sure, the money, he said, look, the money is what it is. It's nobody's going to hit a home run, he said, and nobody's going to, you know, underpay someone. So I go back and forth. I think, honestly, I think he wants to be here. I don't think he wants to play anywhere else.
Oh, how would you not want to retire tonight now that they've won a Stanley Cup?
But I think the idea that I see people throw out Montreal as a place. If a guy wants to win, he's not going to Montreal.
No.
There's, you know, certainly places he could go and win. But the question is, what contender has the money
to pay him?
To pay him.
Yeah.
So I think you know, there's certainly the ability to maybe go play in one of the Florida teams, which he's got history with, both the Panthers or Tampa.
Yep.
I don't know, you know, look, salary cap is big, right? This is a sport where it's not like the NBA where you can manipulate the salary cap. You have to be under.
It's hard. It's a hard cap.
You know, there's no luxury tax like Major League Baseball, where the Yankees and Dodgers could basically print their own money. It's not the NFL where contracts are not guaranteed and you can release guys and do that to get under the cap. This is the sport that has the most difficult salary cap to hit and most difficult salary cap to be under. Because if you make a mistake, you are certainly punished.
No doubt about
it. For that mistake, which is the way it should be.
I agree.
Not like the NBA, which has a joke salary cap. You know, like I said, the NFL, the contracts are not guaranteed, which is a joke.
And they backload everything.
Yeah, it's a joke that contracts aren't guaranteed in the NFL. So, look, it's a tough spot, Brian. If I had to guess, my guess is Jonathan Marchessault will not be back. My gut, my heart tells me he will be. My brain says he won't be.
He's not going to be back. I've said it all year, Chris. I've had arguments with people that have listened to the show over it, and I've just said it's all about finances. It's
they could get creative.
They could.
They could trade players. They could not re-sign players. They could do certain things to get themselves in a position to have the money. The problem is, do you make your team worse by doing that?
Yeah, I think it just makes sense. I mean, Marchessault had, for himself, this is a time to get the most that you're going to get. I mean,
ask yourself this, and I hate to doubt the guy, because he's been proven doubters wrong his entire career, but he scored 42 goals this year. Do you think that you'll ever get 42 goals out of Jonathan Marchessault?
No,
but I think you'll certainly get in the 30s.
You'll certainly get in the 20s. I think.
Oh, absolutely.
I think the 30s are still a possibility. But again, at his age, where he's at, I think for him to capitalize and to monetize himself bestly, it's this year. And I think the Knights won't pay him. Like I said, in my opinion, out of the six unrestricted free agents, the only guy that I really believe might come back is Amadio. But as Chris said, he's going to command more money. He's a $1 to $2 million guy, but there's a team out there that might pay him $1.9. The Knights, I think, will offer him $1.2 probably at the most.
Yeah, I think probably like a buck and a quarter.
Yeah, that's about what he'll get. So it'll be interesting.
And maybe over 3 years.
With that, we'll talk a lot about the Knights. But real quickly, I wanted to get into the rest of the National Hockey League and the playoffs. We got a few minutes before we're going to bring Jiggy Maxwell on. But I just wanted to ask you, this really some nice matchups. The Rangers really look dominant. You mentioned that last week. You said the Hurricanes were going to struggle with them. I expected Carolina to do better. They did win last night. Big game yesterday to get one win out of it, but they go back to New York for game 5. I think this series ends then. Other than that series, the other three series all are very interesting, and things can happen. I think, Florida leads that series with the Bruins. I like the Panthers. I know you liked them all year to win the Stanley Cup this year. They really retooled. They are playing really, really good hockey at the best time. Bobrovsky, again, I mean, the ageless wonder. This guy just keeps playing well. Looked like he fizzled a couple years ago. Had a great run last year in the Stanley Cup playoffs up until the final. And then, of course, this year playing exceptional. They're up on the Bruins 2-1. Bruins went in and stole game 1, but Florida's won the last 2, and I think it's going to be a tough road to haul. They really blew the in Boston in game two. In game 3, they blew them out 6-2, and that was in the Garden. That's going to be trouble for them. The team that I really like, Chris, in this going forward, and I know you don't like them to win the Stanley Cup, but the Edmonton Oilers. I mean, they should have won both games in Vancouver. Vancouver comes back and ends up winning that game ends up winning game 2, I believe. But the or wins game 1. But the Oilers, I'm saying, Chris, right now, this team looks really tough to me. I'm a little concerned with the goaltending. Obviously, everybody is. But the bottom line is, the one thing with Edmonton is that power play is unbelievable. And because they are so talented with Hyman and Draisaitl and, of course, McDavid, that team is really scary on the power play. And what you've seen them do is capitalize on the power play. The key to beating this team really is staying out of the box.
Well, that's what Dallas does. Dallas doesn't commit a lot of penalties. Yep. And Dallas is better than the Edmonton Oilers. There's zero doubt in my mind that the Golden Knights would have beaten the Edmonton Oilers. They would have lit Stuart Skinner up like a Christmas tree. I think the Edmonton is in a series. They're in a fight. I don't think Vancouver's going to roll over for them. And look, I know you said that they could have won the other night. Look, Vancouver could very easily be up 2-0 in this series as well. So, look, Artur Shelov's the third string goalie for the Vancouver Canucks, has played pretty well. I thought the officiating in game 2 was certainly just trash.
Garbage.
It was about as bad as it gets in the NHL.
God.
And
I want to see if those guys have the DraftKings accounts.
Yeah,
Chris.
And look, it favored the Edmonton Oilers. Will the NHL overcorrect tonight and call a bunch of garbage on the Oilers and give Vancouver opportunities? I hope not. You know, I'm not a fan of that. I would prefer that you just call it the way it is. Look, you know what? You screwed up game two. You don't have to overcorrect for game three, but it's certainly plausible. And look, I've been on the Florida Panthers a long time. I think the Rangers, however, I know they lost finally for the first time in the playoffs last night. They had won seven straight playoff games to start, which I think the last time that happened for them, they won the Stanley Cup, which was 1994. They're a really good team, and they've got an amazing goalie. Look, they're going to be tough.
No,
I look. This is why I love the NHL playoffs, because I could look at, I would say, maybe six of the eight teams that are still playing, and saying realistically, any of them could win the Stanley Cup. I don't think the Canucks can. Maybe the Bruins. I don't know, but Brian, the NHL, this is why they have the best playoffs out there.
I agree.
Because there's teams that have already been eliminated from the Stanley Cup that could have raised the Stanley Cup.
I agree. The Golden Knights being one of them, and I 100% agree. The Stanley Cup playoffs, the speed, the intensity, the veracity, the physicality of the Stanley Cup playoffs are the best in the world, I think. And you get to see it again today. You got two more games today. The Panthers and the Bruins go at it at 3:30, and then tonight you've got the Canucks and the Oilers at 6:30. And don't sleep on that Stars Avalanche series. That's probably the best series, I think, in this round. And even though you look at that 4-1 victory yesterday by the Stars, if you watch the game, it was much closer than that. Two of those goals were empty net goals. The Avalanche are toe-to-toe with the Stars, and I'll tell you what, man, if you didn't see it yesterday, when McKinnon and you know, when this guy plays at his best, he is maybe the fastest guy in the National Hockey League. An incredible, incredible player. And don't sleep on the Colorado Avalanche, even though I think the Dallas Stars might be the best team left in it. As you said, it could go to anyone. I'm going on a long shot. I'm going to take the dark horse, the Oilers, and say somehow they get through. I'm worried about their goaltending, but that's going to be my pick for the Stanley Cup final, and I'll say it right now. I'll leave it there. Spence, let's move on, man. I want to get Jiggy on the phone, so get him on the air. Let's hit Nightcap.
Facts. If you don't like the facts, take your ass back to bed. Fact this.
I was supposed to say fact this. Fact this is brought to you by Lifelike Hair Center of Las Vegas. If you are experiencing hair loss or thinning hair and want to learn about the best non-surgical options available, call 702-737-5759 or go to lifelikehair.com and schedule your free consultation today. It is a fact. Thursday, for the second time in the last 10 months, the back-to-back WNBA champion Las Vegas Aces visited the White House, and President Joe Biden was rolling along nicely until he said this.
While she couldn't be here, I want to acknowledge someone who will be considered one of the greatest all-time coaches, Candace Parker.
Jiggy, welcome to the show. I just want to ask you, I never knew Candace Parker was a coach.
I'm coach on the floor. Okay. I mean, you know, many point guards and great players have that added ability to be a coach on the floor. Yeah, but, you know, for the entire day to have that be the one gaffe, and I don't know, you go off a teleprompter when you're the president and vice president. Who knows if that was the speechwriter who screwed that up? We don't get a chance to proof their speeches to be able to help them out, but it was still a great event, still happy to be there. A little disappointed that that was the news that came out of it, given that everything else that happened that day that was so much fun. But, you know, what are you going to do?
I thought it was comical. I had a little comedy to the show. Overall, great evening again. Really cool to see all the girls, all you guys getting an opportunity. What is that like, man? In 10 months, you've been to the White House twice.
Yeah, I mean, I was born, I grew up in Northern Virginia, so just outside of D.C. I'm a political junkie. So for me, it's amazing. I only wish I had a little more time to soak it in. I'm sort of the White House contact for these events. So I'm in herd cats mode, trying to get everybody to where they need to get to. But still, it's impressive. Those iconic shots that you see of the president walking down the hallway to give speeches. I mean, that's where Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, and Nikki Fargus walked down this time. And Kamala and Nikki walked last time. And there's something pretty powerful about that. We got to tour the Oval Office. Yeah. This go round, which we didn't last time. We got to see Marine One take off and land. which was a lot of fun. So it's, there's, I mean, obviously tons of history there, our history, important history. So for me, it's kid in the candy store kind of stuff, but everybody else hopefully gets to enjoy it, cause we got some people working behind the scenes to make it happen. You're on your feet a heck of a lot. It's not very relaxing. So it is a bit of a long day for everybody, but everybody enjoyed it. Happy to go back. Would love to go back and visit the Bidens next year.
You know, it's a really cool opportunity, and it's really nice to see that focus and spotlight on the WNBA like that. I mean, the WNBA is morphing, John. We're watching it every year get bigger and bigger, and this year with the advent of Caitlin Clark, the number one overall draft pick, I mean, it's something wild when you see teams across the league, including the Aces, changing their venue for the game against Indiana, anticipating the crowds that are going to be there to see Caitlin Clark. What is it like, and what does this mean to the WNBA?
Well, she's definitely changing the economics of the game for the short term. The eyeballs that she pulled in the past 2 years at the collegiate ranks, both from attendance figures and you know, the scalpers and the kind of money that was getting paid, the kind of money that she's now generating for herself and for others in the game is incredibly impressive. But we hope that everybody comes for Caitlin and then stays for the other 143. I don't know what your impressions are of her so far, just based on the highlights you've seen, but I don't think you'd know from those highlights. She's 10 of 27 from the field in the preseason. She's had 11 turnovers. Like, there's going to be a learning curve for her. And you hope that people just don't go, oh, well, I guess maybe she isn't going to be as good. I'm not going to tune in. People need to tune in and realize, oh, we've had plenty of players who are as great as Caitlin Clark, many who are still in this league, and this is a league worth following.
Yeah, John, I was going to ask you about that, because like, if she does struggle early on, and you know, we've seen players do that. I mean, obviously here, Kelsey Plum yeah, kind of struggled early on, and you know, she found her game and she's become one of the best players in the league. But what does the WNBA have to do to prevent people from moving away or turning off their televisions if she does struggle? How important is it for them to market other players like Asia, who's the best player in the league, in my opinion, you know, to market players like Jackie Young and other Elena Deladon and other players around the league? How important is it for them to capitalize on Caitlin and market some of the other players in the league?
Well, it's a bit of a group effort. One of the nice things is how, you know, ESPN and all of our national television partners have jumped on board with this. And obviously they're going to show Caitlin Clark quite a bit this year, but by expanding the amount of games that we put out there, you're going to have the opportunity to see more more players and better players and other teams and rivalries. Personally, I hope that Caitlin Clark continues to be the story throughout the entire season, and our little three-peat run goes unnoticed while we're heading into the playoffs. And, you know, we just sort of catch people by surprise come playoffs that can then flip to us. But Caitlin's going to bring those eyeballs, and we've absolutely got to capitalize on it as best we can. But part of that is by going to these larger arenas. People want to see what we have to offer. They want to see Caitlin. But when they come see Caitlin, if they see Breanna Stewart, Asia Wilson, any of the other great players that are in this league, if they were impressed by Caitlin, they should be impressed by all these other players the way many of us have been these past several years.
I agree. And, you know, she's been incredible in college basketball, but the WNBA recognition, other players like Sabrina Nescu in the 3-point shooting contest against Steph Curry. I mean, that was huge. That gets national notoriety, and also helps with the economics. And you can see the dividends that it's playing. Asia Wilson just signed a nice, really nice endorsement contract, deservedly so, as she is the face of the WNBA right now. But talking about this team, John, two-time back-to-back champions, a chance to go for three in a row. What do you think? What are you seeing from this team? Does the hunger still exist? And don't be cliche-ish. Does it still exist to win three championships? At some point, stardom kind of hits everybody, right?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's incredibly difficult to win three in a row. Injuries always play a part. They almost derailed our back-to-back opportunity last year. So injuries are going to be a factor. Everyone's gunning for us now. When you win two in a row, not just the stereotypical bullseye on the back, but it's not just how do we figure out how to win a championship. It's how do we figure out how to stop the Las Vegas Aces, because we're setting the standards. The thing that I think is nice about this group is they are a veteran group. They've been together, and they're not looking at it as let's make history and win three in a row. They're very compartmentalized. This is a new season. First one had challenges. Second one had different challenges. They know this one's going to have different challenges. So in their head, it's we want to win the 2024 WNBA championship, not, hey, let's make history and win three in a row. And I think that you sort of have to have a clear head about it. It's still basketball. The court is still the same length. It's still a 10-foot high basket. Nothing's changed. It's the mental aspect. It's that pressure that you put on yourself that shouldn't really exist in trying to go for something like a three-peat that can creep in and maybe impact it. This group seems very poised and ready to meet that challenge. Not to say that we're definitely going to win it, but we should still be the favorites, I would think.
There's no question. I think the Aces will be the favorite this year. Almost everyone coming back that was significant contributors last season. But as we know, tough as nails to repeat again. And if they win three in a row, John, you got to start using dumbbells because those rings got to be heavy. And if you got three of them, one of those arms is going to start getting weak. So make sure you take care of that. What about Becky Hammon now? I mean, obviously, you know, in a short period of time, arguably one of the best coaches in WNBA history, what she's done, the way she's able to mesh with these girls. And you could see the respect factor. Every time I attend a press conference, you could see the respect factor between Becky and the girls. But the rumor is still out there, John, that, you know, now that it's going to be her third season with the Aces, the NBA, you know, when they say eventually there will be a woman's head coach in the NBA, her name is always first on the list when they talk about that. I know that's not something you want to think about right now. We're getting into the season. But again, that is gigantic worldwide news, a female coach at some point being a coach in the NBA.
Well, and I would never presume to speak for Becky, but I mean, obviously we all want her to be the one to break that ceiling. As much as we want her to be the head coach of the Aces, if anyone's going to break that ceiling, she certainly earned the right to be the first one to step through that door and be the first female coach of an NBA team. So if it happens, I think every single member of the Aces would be at that home opener to celebrate her achievement. But until that happens, she's the head coach of the Aces. And again, from a compartmentalization standpoint, she's not thinking about it. She's focused on what we have to do. If something happens, it happens. But right now, it's all about winning that third championship.
Yeah, John, I one of the things that really stands out to me is how relaxed this team always seems. Like, first of all, they seem unbelievably tight, which is obviously important for chemistry and all that, but they're always loose. And it seems like some teams don't handle the pressure of being the hunted, being the big game, being the team with the target on their back. Is that a reflection of Becky, or is that the players in the locker room, that they're so relaxed and so loose, and it seems like they're always focused, but they're always having fun?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a little bit of both. But what I would put on it is that this team has been together for a while, that core four. And I think so Kelsey Plum last year in the playoffs got ripped a little bit for a quote that may have been a little bit indelicate, but I think she was absolutely correct when she talked about New York. We've gone through some challenges together as a group. And when you've been together for 4 or 5 years and had those same experiences, when you have a challenge, when somebody gets injured, something comes up that gets in your way that you've got to overcome, you've been through it. You're comfortable with each other in knowing what everybody's going to do. New York will get there, but they haven't gone through that together yet. And I think that's what she was trying to say. And I also think that's sort of one of the things that helps us out the most, is that we've been together forever. We're not put together as a super team the way some teams are. We were built through the draft and then added some complementary pieces through free agency. So that camaraderie you see has been built over time, and there's just a trust factor that builds up. Not that, you know, other teams don't trust one another, but when you've been through those wars together, it's just a different vibe.
You know, John, and that bodes that this year it can't be Aces versus everybody and controversy. This team is the one that everyone's gunning for. People now know this team. Dynasty, you can't quite say that yet. But then again, the way this team has played since they've been in Las Vegas, they've just gotten better and better every single season. And now they're at the top of the hill, and there's only one place to go from there. Stay there, but eventually down. So hopefully we'll see another great run by the Aces. John, appreciate you taking the time out. I know you just arrived last night getting back from South Carolina. Big, gigantic win over the Puerto Rican national team, something everyone gets to look forward to here. First game of the season is this Tuesday night at the Mandalay Bay, the Michelob Ultra Arena. John, I know that the season tickets are sold out, but how can people get tickets or still get to see the Aces play this year?
So I think 7 of our 20 home games are sold out now. So jump on Access, jump on our website, but our tickets are sold through Access, AXS.com. There's obviously a resale market, a heavy resale market here in Las Vegas. But, you know, if you want to see Caitlin Clark, those tickets are probably going to be a little bit more expensive. That's one of the games we have now at T-Mobile Arena. But those are the two places to go to try and get tickets. And we hope to see everybody out there this Tuesday, ring ceremony. Maybe Tom Brady will be there to get his ring. Who knows? You get a little extra Vegas style for your money. So hope to see everybody out there and throughout the season. It's going to be a fun one. And again, come watch Caitlin Clark, but stay for the other 143.
Tom Brady has more than enough rings, but hey, looking forward to the season, looking forward to seeing what this team can do and how they can go forward, and a tremendous dynasty. And man, the WNBA has got to be really happy about the move to Las Vegas for the Aces, because I think as well as Caitlin Clark may be revolutionizing the game, the Aces themselves have done it. He is John Jiggy Maxwell, Vice President of Media Relations. Appreciate you, my friend.
Good to see you guys. We'll see you on Tuesday.
Absolutely. Be there Tuesday night. Again, the Aces tip off their season this Tuesday night at the Michelob Ultra Arena, and get tickets and get down there and check them out. Really is a good time. Intimate environment. They get about 8,000 fans, which is all the arena fits, and that place is packed. It's rocking. It's loud. It might not be T-Mobile Arena because you don't have as many people there, but it feels like almost as loud when they get going for the Aces. Some great promotions, and definitely check them out. Guys, moving from one basketball league to the other, the NBA. And Spencer, I'll let you chime in. I know you follow the NBA religiously, and you always have. And I got to ask you, this year, the teams that are left, I am really enjoying the playoffs this year, especially in, you know, I'll tell you a big reason I'm doing it, Spencer. It's the Minnesota Timberwolves. I love watching this team play basketball, and that is such an exciting series, them and the Denver Nuggets. But Minnesota leading the series. Spencer, if you would have told me, even at the beginning of the playoffs, as good as Minnesota has been all year, that are emerging stars, if you would have said Minnesota has a chance to win the NBA title, I would have told you were nuts. I wouldn't say you were nuts right now. I still don't think that they're going to be holding up the trophy at the end of the season. But Spencer, I wouldn't be shocked if they did.
Yeah, we just talk about the old adage of defense wins championships, and it just seems to get proven every year. But every offseason, we get enthralled by these teams that have these offensive weapon sets, like the Clippers. We always just pick them automatically to go. But the Timberwolves have been one of the best defensive teams in the league this year. And you're going to see all the best defensive teams. Those are the ones that are left. The Knicks, and they're making their run. You know, the Celtics are great defensively. You know, this series has been a little surprising to me. I don't think Denver's done by a long shot. I was shocked to see that they won those first two games. But it seems like they figured something out in game three. So I'm so excited for game four. I would love to see the series tied. It would kind of look like Mirror the Night series a little bit, where you lose the first two home games. You come back and win the next two away games, and then it's a brand new series at that point. So I'm rooting for that a little bit. I think next round is going to be a lot more interesting. I think, you know, this Knicks series is kind of dragging on. I don't see that going on much longer. The Celtics are the same way. But, you know, it is the other, you know, series are going to be great. I mean, this has been a really entertaining playoffs. I think it's because all of the old names that we're so used to are gone now. You know, LeBron and Steph. Like, we're seeing the new generation. It's cool because all of these guys, even like whoever is left, like someone's going to make a big name for themselves, maybe other than the Nuggets, right? Because they already won. But everyone else, like they have an opportunity to really cement their legacy and like start the new generation of basketball.
I agree. I mean, you just spoke about it. Anthony Edwards, this guy is becoming a NBA household name. He is a emerging superstar in this league. And we've seen it the last two seasons. This guy is going to be great. And you pair him up with Karl Anthony Towns, Rudy Gobert, Michael Connolly Jr. This team has the ability to make some noise in the postseason. But you are right. Denver, it looked like, you know, wow, you know, they finally get, Denver gets on the road and you think, oh my God, Minnesota's just going to maybe sweep them. And Denver blew them out in Minnesota in game three. It's a very, very pivotal game, game four. Minnesota has to protect home court, because I think if Minnesota loses that game, they will be in trouble. They go up 3-1. I think it's going to be tough for Denver to beat them three times in a row. Although, you know, I do think that can happen. I don't think that's completely out of the question. And I agree with you. I think the Pacers are going to be, I think the Knicks will get rid to the Pacers. Obviously, the Celtics are going to beat the Cavaliers, although Donovan Mitchell complained and said that he hurt his knee in the third quarter, and that was the reason everything changed at that moment. I don't think so. I think the two bigs of the Boston Celtics, the main two players, are the reason they've gotten this far. And, you know, when you're talking about Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, and even Holiday finally had a big game. He'd scored 18 points in the first two games. He scored 18 points in game three. And after the game, Jason Tatum talked about, you know, how they do need the big three or the big two, but it takes a team effort.
We just wanted to bounce back, right? Disappointing loss the other night, coming to a hostile environment on the road. Essentially, our back was against the wall, so it was a good test for us to see how we respond. We were up for the challenge. We have a really great team, but we know we only go as far as us two go. And that's being the best players, the best teammates on both ends of the floor, and leading these guys every single night. Not to be satisfied. The series is far from over. We responded after a loss, and, you know, they're going to feel like they can play better. Some things we can go over and film tomorrow, get some rest. It should be another fun one on Monday. This is a great atmosphere, and we're looking forward to it.
In the third quarter, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown scored or assisted on all 27 points the Celtics scored. The bottom line is the Celtics, when both Tatum and Brown score 25-plus points, the Celtics, I think they're 5-2 in the postseason this year. They did yesterday 33 points, a double-double for Jason Tatum. The Celtics are going to be a tough out. As we knew, a lot of people expected them to win the title. And my favorite series, the Dallas-OKC series, I knew this was going to be my favorite series. Enjoy watching it. Luka Doncic is just getting beat up in this series, and Lu Dort is really able to handle him pretty well. After the game, Doncic, man, is beaten up as can be. Talked about it a little bit.
Everything, in the last play, I split two defenders. Obviously, nobody touched me. You know, hurt my knee again, but just trying to battle out there, man. We got to win, that's all that matters. Just straight on my back. That's the least of my problems. I just hit. I'll get better in 2 days.
He said he'd be better in 2 days at least, his problem, but his back's pretty much hurting. And after the game, Kyrie Irving also talked about, almost sounded a little bit unselfish, which is a little rare for him.
You can tell he wanted to win, and that's all we need from Luka. We know he's going to be who he is and attack, but for us, it's just continuing to feed him that energy that he can trust who he's around. And when it's Luka's time to take over, we allow him to take over. When it's my time to take over, it's my time to take over. It's not just on Luka, it's on all the...
Big home win for the Mavericks last night, 101-105. And OKC just not the playoff experience in the Grizzle team the Mavericks are. They're projected to win this series, but I don't know. I like Dallas in the series. I think overall they'll come through. I think OKC rebounds and wins game four. But I think Dallas overall is going to find a way to win this series. And I like the Mavericks. I don't think they're going to win it. I think when it all comes down to it, I'm going to go out there right now. I'm going to say it's going to be the Timberwolves and the Celtics in the NBA Finals. And we'll leave it at that. Spence, your thought, who do you think comes through, gets to the conference finals, and who do you think wins the whole thing?
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning towards the Dallas Mavericks and the Celtics right now. Kind of feels like that's what the crash course is. I just think OKC's hitting a wall, and I think that that's what's going on right now. They're a very young team, and there's just so much more experience on the other side for the Mavericks. If the Nuggets don't beat the Timberwolves. If the Nuggets go through, they're going to go to the finals.
Yeah, I don't know. The Timberwolves, you know, the thing with the Mavericks is Doncic is hurt, man. How much more banged up can this guy get? And Dort plays him pretty well. Going to be interesting. Listen, we're out of time. Want to thank John Jiggy Maxwell for joining the show. Also, of course, always thanking Spencer the Wiz Ostrowski, Chris Magnum Chapman. I'm Brian Feldman. This is Out of Line, and we are here on Fox Sports Radio every Sunday morning, same time, 8 to 9 a.m., and that is 98.7 FM and 1340 a.m. Look forward to seeing you next week, same time, same place. Bye-bye.